The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to RN in Progress. I'm your host, DJ Benster here. I will share with you the inside life of a nursing student, from long nights of studying to clinicals and the challenges that come with it. This is RN in Progress. Welcome, everybody. This is RN in Progress. I'm your host, DJ Benster here, and today I'm taking you inside one of the biggest moments in every nursing student's journey, their first clinical rotation. That moment when you walk onto the hospital floor with your badge on, your scrubs, and you're getting ready to meet patients and get to talk to and work with nurses. If you tuned into my first episode, I shared about my background and how I got into nursing school. And today, I wanted to take you with me through my first day of clinical, what it was like, what I learned, and what I wished I knew before stepping onto the floor. So make sure you get some drinks, some snacks, and let's get into it. So to start off, I want to go over the clinical selection process. And essentially, at the end of each semester, when you're registering for the following semester's classes, say you're a sophomore 1 and you're registering for sophomore 2, they send out a schedule of all the clinical sites, and that can provide the time, the date, and the location. But the caveat to that is that the location, they don't usually give the exact name or address. It's basically a geographical pinpoint, like north, south, east, and west. So that's been kind of the tricky part when I've been registering, because I don't exactly know what's going to be north, south, east. I don't know where these hospitals are. So when you're registering for it, you're going to add it into your cart, and when it comes to the day of registration, you could quick enroll, and you'll see if you get it or not. Sometimes it could be very competitive because it is a first-come, first-served process, so if you enroll late, you might not be able to get that location, which, for my experience, I haven't been able to get any of the ones I've wanted, but fortunately enough, I've been able to adapt, and I've actually learned to really enjoy the sites I've been to. And those are kind of the things you want to keep in mind when you're registering, as well as finding out what fits your needs. Like, say, one of the locations is like, oh, you have to pay for parking, or you have to go across the bridge and pay for toll. And sometimes they're even, like, extremely far, like Sacramento. I had my pediatric rotation there, and I had to sleep over at a friend's house sometimes because we have to wake up really early in the morning and drive to get there, so those are things you want to keep in mind and what you want to remember when you're registering for clinicals. So I'm going to go over the different rotation sites. So for sophomore 2s, you have your MedSurg 1 and your geriatric rotation. Then you go into junior 1, you have your MedSurg 2 and your psychiatric rotation. And junior 2 is when you have pediatrics and maternity. And then in your senior 1 semester, which is the one I'm currently in, MedSurg 3 and community health. And then in your last semester of nursing school, you have preceptor. And in preceptorship, you get to follow along with a nurse and you get to do what they're doing. And it's kind of like the regular clinical rotation, except you're doing a full shift. So these can be 8-hour shifts or 12-hour shifts, or even day shifts or night shifts. It just depends on the nurse and who you partner up with. And that's why it's important to keep in mind what clinical site rotations that you've enjoyed, which one is suitable for you, like location-wise, or is something that you want to pursue later on in the future. Carrying on, I want to go over the onboarding process. So at Dominican, we have this thing called Castle Branch, and they have all this vaccinations, CPR training, all these types of requirements that you need to fulfill before you go into rotation. And this part can be very tedious and kind of annoying because they will be emailing you a lot to make sure you get everything done. And you're also on vacation during this time, and it's usually like winter break, especially if you're like your first semester of a clinical rotation. So you kind of don't really know what's going on until they start emailing you like, why isn't this due, or how come this isn't due? So I kind of want to remind you guys to get ahead of it as soon as you can. Make sure you get your physicals done, your TB testing done. Do it beforehand. That way, when it comes time to do your Castle Branch onboarding, you could quickly just submit it there and then they could check it and check you off. And that shows that you're prompt and prepared to get ready for clinical. Then comes the night before your first rotation. So for me, I was very nervous. I was anxious because like I didn't really know what I was going to be doing or what I was going to get myself into. From other people's perspective, it's like, oh, you have to clean a lot of like patients, like doing all the dirty work kind of things, like wiping people's butts or like cleaning the floors. But since I was going into a hospital, it was kind of different. I still had to do that, like cleaning people's butts and stuff, but you also have to learn how to like implement your skills. And that was the thing I was kind of nervous about, like, oh, do I remember how to check someone's blood pressure, or do I know how to do a full body assessment? But thankfully enough, we have a lot of good resources at school, especially with Sean, who's in charge of the clinical simulation labs. And he really provides a lot of resources and videos to help prepare for that. So the night before, I would suggest watching those videos, but I didn't know to watch them. So I was still nervous. And I would remember I have to prep my scrubs, make sure I have my ID badge, and having essential supplies like your stethoscope, a pen light, and a little notebook just to jot down any important details or notes you want to remember later on. I also want to make sure you guys pack a lunch because not all hospitals have a cafeteria, or at least the cafeteria closes early or something. But packing a meal and having snacks before you go to clinical is very important, as you will be standing long hours and you don't want to be passing out in case something happens. Or like for those who are afraid of blood, like you might see a lot of stuff you might not like, and I don't want you guys to pass out in the middle of your shift. It could be kind of embarrassing, but your instructor is going to have to deal with that. Before I shift into another topic, one advice I'd give to people the day before their first clinical is to write down some notes, maybe some questions that you might want to ask your nurses, because they're going to be busy doing work and you're going to be tagging along, and sometimes they might not be able to answer your questions right away. So it'd be a good idea to jot down a couple of questions, stuff you maybe don't know about in class, and maybe you're going to see it in clinical that day, and that will help ease your mind and help you understand what's going on today. Now I want to go over some lessons that I've learned from my first clinical rotation. And first I want to go over how to communicate with patients. So going into it, I was nervous on how I was going to be able to interact and communicate with them, especially if they're severely ill or if there's a language barrier. Like I can only speak English, so I understand that if their primary language is like Spanish, it's going to be a little bit difficult to get that connection with them. But I also learned that there's also resources at the hospital. Of course, there's other nurses who speak Spanish as well, but there's also interpreter machines that they have that they use for the patients who speak different languages. And I found that to be really useful to be able to have on the unit. But I also learned that you just really need to be confident with your patients. You have to open up with them, be friendly, and it's not really you talking, but it's more about listening to them more than talking. Just allow them to share how they feel, understand their pain, and just being open to them allows you to become more friendly and be more open-minded about what's going on with your patient. I also learned the importance of teamwork, because on the unit, it's not just nurses. There's also CNAs, there's doctors, there's respiratory therapists, and they all interact amongst one another to help meet the needs of the patient. Sometimes you could call in a CNA to help you lift the patient, or they need help moving the patient to the restroom. And it's good because you don't want to be doing that by yourself, especially if they're at risk of falling. So it helps when you have a team together who are all willing to interact and meet the needs of their patients. I also found that managing time and prioritizing care is very important. For managing time, is just using that time to figure out what med is next. Always looking at their MAR, which is their medication administration record, and seeing what medication is coming up next. make sure you have it on hand and you're ready to give it to the patient when it's due. Because you don't want to be late on medications or else their health could decline or they might not be able to get that med till later, which won't benefit them at all. And then for prioritizing care, we learned in nursing school, especially in NCLEX, the ABCs, airway, breathing, and circulation. And it's important to prioritize the patient's airway, make sure they're breathing, and once they're breathing, they could get circulation. And just figuring out which patient is stable and unstable is also important, as it shows who needs the most care before the other patient. If one patient is stopped breathing, of course he's unstable, we gotta get him help right away. Compared to a patient, he's just eating, he's fine, yeah, we can let him relax. And just knowing those little skills and like little tips helps make the nursing school and your clinical experience so much easier, as you know what's going on and who to prioritize. And the last thing that I found really important was just learning to stay calm under pressure and asking for help. I learned that confidence doesn't come from knowing everything, but it comes from being willing to stay humble and learn from the nurses. And just being able to stay relaxed, open-minded, and being proactive allows the nurses to understand, he's okay, he can help, he can keep up with me. And that's good, especially if you're in a fast-paced clinical setting and their nurses always walking around, getting meds, going back and forth. Sometimes they don't have the time to teach you because they're working and having a student follow along. But if you can get ahead, read along with, what's going on with this patient, then you'll be up to date and up to speed with your nurse. And that's good. So I hope I was able to share those lessons with you guys, as I hope those can help you guys in your nursing career as well. Pivoting towards our last few topics, I want to go over challenges and surprises. And one of those challenges was during my maternity clinical. And in maternity is where we go over like labor and delivery, mother, baby, and the NICU. And during this clinical, I was on postpartum, which is after the mother has given birth and they have the baby. And usually during those types of rotations, you get to do assessments. But as for a guy, sometimes the moms don't really want a male in the room. So sometimes it's on and off when you get to be able to do something. But most of the time, I didn't get to do too much. So it wasn't really my favorite clinical. But it's always good that you're able to learn from your nurses there, because that helped during the NCLEX and during Kaplan. And the second thing I wanted to point out was for peds, sometimes it's hard to communicate with especially kids because they don't know how to describe their pain, or sometimes they're just really fussy and agitated. So it's important to stay calm and patient with those types of patients, as it's just in those moments I realized that it isn't just about skills, but it's also about adapting and showing empathy while also keeping your composure, especially with that type of population. And that wraps up today's episode of RN in Progress. Thank you so much for tuning in and walking beside me through this part of my nursing journey, every class and every clinical, even every stressful moment, as it shaped me into the nurse I'm becoming. Nursing school isn't easy, and it's filled with stress, struggle, and pain, but it's full of lessons that go far beyond textbooks. It teaches you resilience, compassion, and how to show up for those who are vulnerable and in need. You show your compassion and comfort to those who need your help, and you're always welcoming and friendly to everyone. If this episode connected with you, I hope it reminded you that you're not alone in this journey. We're all learning and growing, and that's why I'm here to share some of my hacks, some of my teachings, and experiences with you guys. In the next episode, I'll be sharing some of my favorite nursing school study hacks, little things that have helped me stay focused, manage my time, and survive those long nights of studying without getting burnt out. These are real strategies that have helped me stay balanced and grounded, even when the workload feels impossible. Until then, take care of yourself. This is DJ Benster, and this is RN in Progress. Thank you.